Ross, a mischievous kid, goes to the mall where his old habits sometimes get the best of him.
This is Ryan.
And this is Ashley.
And this is Ruining Our Childhood Presents. Are we still afraid of the dark? Hi, guys.
Hi.
We're back.
With another amazing episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? This week, we're doing the 13th episode, The Tale of the Pinball Wizard. It originally aired on November 14th of 1992.
Also known as The Day This Came Out.
What? See, you guys probably are like, they're always skipping weeks, and we're just doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Or, no, we're not. Sometimes we have to skip a week.
Yeah. It's just crazy that it would come out on the 28-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us.
This episode also marks the departure of one favorite character.
Betty Ann?
No. But our other favorite character.
Eric?
Yeah. Aww. It's the last episode of Eric.
I could have got rid of somebody else out of that Midnight Society.
Well, I don't know the reason why he left. I just know that in the trivia on IMDb.
There you go.
It took me a second. Was that the creator, DJ McHale, said that he didn't think it was that big of a deal. He didn't think people really cared about the Midnight Society the first season. But then when he didn't come back in the second season, I guess people were like, where's our favorite character?
Where's Eric?
Yeah, where's Eric?
I think the one that I would have noticed leaving would have been Gary.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like he's kind of the leader.
He really is. Yeah. I was thinking about him today because this episode is a Gary story. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how Ross Hull, the actor, does look like he's a couple years older than everybody else.
Yeah.
And that he acts very mature compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
So, he's like the dad.
He's like, hi, son. Yeah. Pats Eric on the head. That's interesting about him not being on the show anymore.
Yeah. I thought I told you that like a couple months ago because I was like, we have a thing named after him and he's only on the first season.
But he gives a pretty reluctant thumbs up. It's iconic. We're keeping it.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't get rid of it.
No, he's an original Midnight Society member. Yeah. So.
Maybe he left to start writing Letterkenny right then and there.
Oh, yes. Started, you know, 14-year-old Jacob Tierney.
1993, he's like, I'm going to start writing this show. It'll be something really big in 2018.
Anyway, do you want to hit us with the first category?
Yes. Our first category is called Well, Hello There.
Well, Hello There.
Where we talk about any famous or recognizable actors that we didn't know were on the show. And there wasn't.
No. I feel like I can't wait until we get a little further in the series because I know there will be more cameos of people that still act. Of course, in this category, we usually just go over the cast.
Yeah.
The first person is the main character, Ross Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
He's played by an actor named Joe Posca.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't acted since 1995, and he only had 3 credits, including this one.
He, I did see, was credited as Puerto Rican Boy in a TV movie called David's Mother.
Oh.
But that actually had a lot of famous people in it. Kirstie Alley was in it, wow. Sam Waterston, Felisa Rashad.
Was it like a Lifetime movie, maybe?
I think so. It's from like 1994.
Those 90s Lifetime movies were the best.
Yeah. I was going to say, and you're getting Kirstie Alley right after Cheers.
Mm.
So that's a get.
Yeah. And Sam Waterston.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I love Sam Waterston.
Who was your one that you want to talk about?
My first one was Mr. Olson. He owns like a little, would you call it a repair shop?
It's kind of... say, but I assume because the only other character really that comes in is trying to find her music box.
Yeah.
So I would assume he does do repair.
Yeah. So Mr. Olson is played by AJ Henderson. He was in another episode, not very recently. He was in The Tale of the Dark Music. He was the carnival barker.
Yeah.
And he was also, he still acts. He was in a movie a few years ago called The Glass Castle, and that starred Brie Larson and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, so. It's based on a memoir by Jeanette Walls.
Oh.
I started reading it, and then I never finished it. Okay. Typical Ashley.
It happens.
Yeah, but interesting.
Faux show. Who was the next person you noticed?
The only other main person in this cast is Sophie is the character's name, played by Polly Shannon. Polly Shannon's actually still acting, and she's been in episodes of Cold Case, CSI Miami, and she was in a 2005 film called Stone Cold with Tom Selleck.
Yes.
So that's a thing.
Yeah. I think there's multiple of those movies. It's like Jesse Waters or something like that. I feel like there's like a trilogy of...
I don't know if that's the same thing, but my dad likes those movies.
Oh, yeah.
So...
And he likes some Tom Selleck.
Yes. Yeah. Magnum P.I. I think my dad wanted to be that character in Magnum P.I.
Well, he had the mustache.
He did.
And he also loves Blue Bloods, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves his Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
That's pretty much all I had.
Yeah.
There's some... Throughout the episode, there are some, like, villains and stuff, but I didn't write them down.
I didn't either. There's, like, a witch.
Yeah.
But these were the main people that actually had lines.
Yes. So. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a good shrinking down.
Do you want to move on to our next category?
Yes.
The next category is called Let's Get Digging, where we talk about the plot and plot holes, and we name our funniest and cringiest parts of the episode.
Mm-hmm. So the plot, Mr. Ross goes to a mall, and he's trying to get some coins to, I'm assuming, play video games, which I thought he tries to jack coins from a fountain.
Yes.
What are you doing, buddy?
This is our first impression of this child.
Yeah. I do understand if you're a kid and you're like, oh, I want some change to go play a video game. I'm going to maybe check the coin returns on a payphone, which he did.
Yes.
I get that, but...
But those are wishes.
Yeah, those are... You don't get to take those.
And then he, like, struggled with what looked like to be an old homeless woman.
Yeah. Hanging out in the mall, like you do.
He's trying to steal the quarter from her. Well, yeah. She's stealing it from him, but don't argue with an old woman, man. No. And who I think is the same person that played the witch, I believe.
So, yes. Yeah. But, yeah, you don't get to, like you said, those are wishes. You don't get to take people's money from a fountain.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're all taught that at a very young age.
I guess those are the, you know, in the synopsis I read at the beginning, those are his old habits they're talking about. And then he moves on from trying to steal a quarter from an old lady into harassing the old man, Mr. Olson's shop owner.
Mm-hmm.
Into giving him a job.
Which I was blown away at the level of confidence Ross has while asking for this job. I have never had that much confidence in a job interview in my life.
I think that's the most confidence he has throughout the whole episode because it's just downhill from there as far as his capabilities.
Yeah, the ball really doesn't just kind of going right down the hill for him.
Yeah.
So then...
Literally at the end.
Mr. Olson... reluctantly decides to let him run the shop while he goes to lunch.
For an hour.
And tells him, do not play the pinball machine.
Yes. And what does he do?
What do you think he does, folks? He plays a damn pinball machine.
Yeah. I do like that in that scene, if we want to move on to plot holes, Mr. Olson does say, like, you can watch the store, but don't touch anything. Don't touch the cash register. And I'm like, so... hypothetically, if a customer comes and they're supposed to pay for something, he's not supposed to accept their money?
Yeah. Also, you don't know him that well. I feel like he's gone in and asked for a job before. Because he said, like, have you thought about giving me the job? Maybe you train him.
Yeah.
Before letting him run your store and leaving. Just going like, all right, I'll see you later. I'll see you in an hour.
Yeah. But by the end of the episode, you kind of understand why... Mr. Olson doesn't give a fuck, right?
Yeah, that's true.
He likes to trap children, apparently, into pinball machines. Spoiler alert.
Which, that was a question I had, was Ross, when he asked for the job, was like, you're not going to have to get rid of me like your old employee, Steven. And I thought,
Steven?
Exactly. I go, did he do the same shit to Steven?
Yeah. It would have been interesting if Steven was in the pinball game too.
Then I went, he makes a comment at the end, like when Mr. Olson lets Ross run the store and he plays the pinball game, he gets sucked into this real life pinball game.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Mr. Olson makes a comment to him, like, even though he thought he won, Ross thought he won.
Yeah.
He says something to him about the effect of, you're going to have to keep playing until you die.
Yeah.
And then I wondered.
Super dark.
I went, did he do that to Steven? And is Steven dead?
That is a great question, Ryan.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Where is Steven? Hashtag where's Steven?
Exactly. Get that trending on Twitter, guys. Also, let's just go ahead and give Ryan a pat on the back for coming up with a plot hole.
That's true. Good job.
It doesn't happen often.
What was the plot hole?
What is up with this Steven kid? Is he dead?
I think that's just a question. Well, it's not a plot hole.
I'm
because you're just making up a scenario in your head. It's a great scenario, and I think you're right.
Thank you. I got to take the little victories.
Okay. I didn't really have a lot of other plot holes in the sense that I thought the whole episode was fine once he got the gist of where he was at, but that took a while, let's be honest. Ross is not very good at being a hero.
No, he's not.
Thank God Sophie's there.
Yeah.
The princess slash the girl he meets the very same day. Yeah. I don't know if it's like he's envisioning these people.
That's
because the witch is the old lady he wrestled. I think the security guard that chases after him in the beginning of the episode might be one of he had an eye patch.
Okay.
In the beginning. He might have been one of the goons or the main villain. There's a lot of villains in the game.
There really was.
But. Yeah,
that is a good question. I didn't think about him. I definitely put two and two together that the bag lady was the witch.
The witch,
and,
yeah.
And obviously Sophie looked the same.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay.
It's a good question. Did you have any other plot holes?
I guess for me was at one point Ross goes over and opens up some lockers.
Mm-hmm.
And he opens one and it looks like guacamole just hits him in the face.
For funs.
And he didn't seem the least bit concerned about what just happened.
I hope it's guacamole.
It looks like guacamole to me. It could have been something else. You know, if I open a locker and a thing of guacamole just smacks me in the face, I have questions.
I feel like the questions Ross has throughout this whole process of him being in the game are not the right questions. No,
he's not very bright.
What was your funniest part of the episode?
My funniest part was at one point Ross is in the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And the throne just kind of just starts sliding across the floor, like just going down aisleways in the mall, like the main aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's what would you call that? Like a medieval guard?
Yeah, like he has a mask on. He kind of looks like the executioner.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. The executioner like stops the throne, growls in his face, pushes an elevator button, and then crosses his arms and just stands there. I realize, you know, afterwards that was him losing his pinball, for lack of a better term.
That's
and he
true.
Had a restart.
Yeah.
But it was just at the time, I'm like, what is happening? He just growled at the kid for no reason and then pushes an elevator button and folds his arms.
I feel like this episode, when it started, as in when he was sucked into the game, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like everything, it's like an acid trip. Like the things that were happening, the things that don't make sense to me are the men in suits, like the men in black.
The like Blues Brothers?
Yeah. I don't know what those are supposed to signify. I might be missing something.
I don't either, because they just went away by splashing water on them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like in a pinball what they would signify, you know?
Maybe that's like when you first shoot your pinball and it goes to the like top of the machine and it'll bounce around pinging.
Yeah.
And then it makes its way down. Maybe that's the bouncing around part.
Maybe.
Because there was a bunch of them and they were circling Ross at one point.
Yeah.
So maybe that was kind of what they were supposed to be.
So is Ross the pinball?
I think so.
I feel like I need to be really high for this episode to make sense.
Yeah, we should probably go get some. It's legal here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just passed in Arizona.
Wreck weed. Legal.
You're dork.
Sorry.
But yeah, I just feel like maybe I'm trying to put too much thought into this 20-minute episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I don't think so. I think you have natural questions. Like, yeah. It was a little confusing at times.
And yeah.
Also just trying to come up what were things signifying in relation to a pinball machine.
So. Because the whole setting is in the mall.
Yeah.
So it's not like he gets sucked into an actual pinball machine and he's walking around what looks like a pinball machine. It's the mall.
Yeah.
So everything is a symbol of a pinball part, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, my funniest part.
Yes.
Just went on a little plot tangent. Was one of the questions that Ross asks in the midst of trying to help Princess Sophie. Mm-hmm. He's like, wait, this is a game? It took him that long to be like, oh, I'm stuck in a pinball game. What was your cringiest part?
So towards the beginning, right when he figures out, I don't think he even figured out yet that he's in a pinball machine, but Sophie comes out and yells to him.
Yeah.
So he starts chasing after him and they go down like a hallway, like you would go find the bathroom mm-hmm. at a mall. And all of a sudden this witch starts blowing him down the hall.
Yes.
But it was Ross's level of acting that he brought to getting blown down the hall was like as if 9,000 mile an hour hurricane winds were blowing him. But yeah. There was just like a couple pieces of paper blowing past him. It was a pretty, pretty bad acting.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, one of the cringy parts I did put was the one that you talked about and your funniest was when the masked man grunts at him. Because his reaction, too, is just like, oh, my God. And I guess that's the same level of acting that you just mentioned in the hallway. Yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm ready to move on to the next category.
Okay.
Okay. Our next category is woo, woo, red flag alert. What were the signs that these kids are about to be statistics in a ghost story?
There wasn't a ton because I feel like the minute he's in the pinball game, I don't think there's a lot of foreshadowing for what's going to happen to him. He's kind of just in the midst of the situation.
Yeah.
But I do feel like when it's like after the real life Sophie is in the shop and asks about her music box and he's like, you're going to have to come back when Mr. Olson's here because I don't know if it's fixed or not. Mm-hmm. So she leaves and then he continues playing the pinball machine that Mr. Olson told him not to play. And Mr. Olson's walking by the shop and he smirks when he hears the music. So I was naturally suspicious
yes.
of the fact that Mr. Olson was happy that he was playing the game he told him not to play.
Mm-hmm.
He was using reverse psychology.
An old parent trick. For me, right at that point, Ross is sucked in and he's playing pinball for quite a few hours, I would assume,
mm-hmm.
because he comes out and the mall's closed.
Yeah.
Why didn't you leave?
The doors were locked.
There's got to be an emergency exit someplace where he could have just left.
If there's something I know about Ross in the 20 minutes I got to know him, he's not very smart, Ryan.
That is
and
so
And the
true.
Phone rang, he got distracted. And then the minute the phone rang, that's when everything started happening. He also got distracted by change.
A handful of quarters. That's all he needed.
Yeah, just falling down from the sky. He got distracted by that. He's very easily distracted.
He's not
young
bright.
Man.
Yeah. He is not bright.
That's all I had for red flag alerts.
Same.
Our next category is called When Was This Made Again? A Reminder of Everything 90s, where we talk about fashion, dated references, or offensive jokes, and technology.
Yeah. For fashion, one of the things that I noticed, and I didn't realize when I was typing it that it was going to be some sort of foreshadowing to a future item, which was Sophie's fabric headband.
Because
it just reminded me of being like 8 years old and having girls in my class that wore those fabric headbands.
I thought you were going to say, and I had a beautiful fabric headband. And
I wore it every weekend to church. But then it became foreshadowing for the tiara
yes.
later on. But I was like, at the time, I was like, neat.
I definitely had a couple of those when I was real little and they hurt the hell out of my head.
Really?
I have a big head.
You
know
do.
This about me.
You do.
I can't wear hats.
Yeah.
And I can't wear headbands because my head is just busting out of it.
Got a big dome.
Yeah.
Did you notice any interesting fashion?
I liked Princess Sophie's dress. It was like almost like a velour fabric, mm-hmm. light sky blue.
It was a neat look.
Yeah.
She reminded me of the princess that's in the enchanted unicorn slot machine.
Yeah.
The only other thing I had was we mentioned earlier the henchmen, and I said they were dressed like they were the Blues Brothers, but they're all wearing black Wayfair Ray-Bans,
yeah,
which are just true. Timeless.
And they also kind of looked like zombies.
Yeah, they had like a blue tint to them.
Please let us know if you guys know what they symbolize, because it's going to bother me. I might have to just Google it. I'm sure somebody wrote a blog. There's definitely a lot of Are You Afraid of the Dark nerds out there like us.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody knows.
Yeah. I'm very curious because I could figure out a lot of them, but that one there was a little... I said my theory, but it was a stretch.
Right.
Let's be honest.
The only dated references I had were just the fact that it was a set in a bustling mall. Because again, malls aren't really a thing, especially in 2020.
Yeah. And it was a mall that looked like it was built in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it very much reminded me of the mall from the original Dawn of the Dead.
It did. We should look it up because, I'm trying to remember. I think
was filmed in Pittsburgh.
You might be right.
And then this would have been...
For some reason, I thought it was Canada.
It's possible.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to check.
But yeah, just like the benches and everything that they showed you in that mall was very dated.
It's a little dark.
Yeah. But you know what? I will say the fountain in this reminded me of the fountain from Dawn of the Dead. That's a good point. It's a stretch, but it's a possibility.
Yeah. I was just thinking of how like malls in the 70s and 80s were very kind of dark. Because I remember the one mall in my head I'm remembering is from Valley Girl.
Mm-hmm.
The 1980s version, not whatever crap version came out this year.
Shots fired.
It did have Alicia Silverstone in it.
Yeah.
But, and it's a very dark, there's not a lot of windows. I don't think they had skylights back then. I don't know. But the malls in the 90s seemed to have like a lot of natural light.
The other thing that I think malls from the 90s had were, it was light colored tile usually.
Yeah.
And, you know,
white,
like a taupe or something, or a white paint on the outsides of the stores. Whereas in this, it's like dark tile and wood paneling everywhere. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. That's how you probably know it was probably built in the 70s.
Yeah.
I just said probably. You'll probably.
Probably.
Did you have any other dated references?
There is it's painted silver and gold, but it was a Super Soaker 200 water gun, which I totally had. Me and my brothers spent our paper out money to buy those, and they were awesome.
And I like how it's in a glass case.
Yeah.
For when he's in the pinball machine, it makes sense because it's not something you can easily get, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning of the episode, when it's real life and he's just in the mall, it's in that glass case like it's a prized possession or in a museum exhibit.
You're like, that's a $15 water gun. That is not a $1,000 toy.
Yeah. That's, what about technology? Ooh. Obviously, we had some.
We did. Right off the bat, the Midnight Society is playing a Game Boy.
Yes.
And it should be noted, Eric just walks over and goes, well, hey, what does this button do? And pushes I'm like, who does that?
Fucking Eric.
That's why he's not on the show. He got his ass kicked when that was over with.
They kicked him out of the Midnight Society. I will say, I think it was David was playing it at first. And he was like obsessive. Like, I need to get the key or whatever. Yeah. And then Frank grabs it from him. Obviously, it has something to do with the pinball story in the sense that you can be obsessed with a game and it can kind of take over your life.
For sure.
Which is not a dated thing because video games are still very much a thing.
Yeah.
And even more obviously advanced, more immersive and...
We just had two new game systems come out this week.
That's true.
Yeah. Xbox something and a PlayStation 5.
You don't know the Xbox name?
I don't. The S, maybe?
The X?
Xbox X?
Xbox Series X? I don't know. Yeah, the Xbox Series X.
Okay. Neat.
Did you have anything else?
That was actually it.
At one point, he does answer a payphone, but...
And we mentioned earlier he goes up to the coin return on the payphones and was checking for change.
Yes, that's true.
I used to do that. And vending machines.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times you'd find stuff.
We used to go to a amusement park in Ohio when I was growing up, and my brother used to check the coin returns and stuff. And then he would also just pick up the change that he would find on the ground And by the end of the summer, because we would get a summer pass and we'd go like once a week, I think by the end of the summer, he'd have like 20 or 25 bucks. He'd just go play games at the amusement park with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times people would just throw change away.
Yeah.
They're just throwing it on the ground. Well, I know like probably where he was looking was maybe by roller coaster areas.
That or just honestly, I'm not even joking. People just drop change in the like main walkways. Like,
that's free money, man.
Like it adds up.
It's like when you go to a casino or in Vegas, there's always people that leave tickets.
The tickets, yeah.
With like a 10 cents or a dollar or something. And I'm like, I'm going to take that.
Yeah. I'm going to grab these three, go put them in this machine right here. I got 40 cents. I can do a spin.
Yeah.
And then I lose.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was slot game talk with Ryan and Ashley.
Yes.
Shall we move on to our awards?
Yes, we shall. As always on Ruining Our Childhood Presents, are we still afraid of the dark? It is award season. We give out two awards every week, the first of which is the Kel Mitchell Award for Exceptional Overacting. Whom did you give your award to?
I had to give it to Ross Joe Pasco because...
There was no other choice.
I mean, there really wasn't because he just... His acting ability wasn't there for being a main character. And also, even if I was just judging it on characters, Ross, as we mentioned throughout this episode, is not the brightest kid in the world. I like when he decides towards the end of the episode that he's gonna... I think he breaks the glass and grabs the... gun.
Super soaker?
Yeah, the super soaker. And he's like, I'm going to win this game. Yes. And he said it exactly like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to win this game.
It made me think of Mario Brothers when he's like, I'm going to win.
Yeah. I just like how he said it because it's almost just like, sure you are, buddy.
Yeah. You're so cute.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you are out of here. Like, his line delivery and just...
I like at the end of the episode when he... is going to defeat the villain. He's like, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't know who you are. And I'm like, that's same, buddy. I don't know who any of these people are, and you're really lost. And it just is the defining moment of Ross as a character.
The other one that I love is Sophie, like, yells to him, like, you have to get the throne. And it's the music box. So he gets the throne on. He's like, it can't be the throne. It's too small.
Yes.
Like, no kidding. What is this, a throne for ants? He was not a good actor.
No. And then another part that didn't make sense when he's like, the villain. I don't even know what you'd call him. I'm sure they have a name for him on here. Let me see.
Executioner.
Oh, the sheriff. So he's supposed to be like, I guess if it was Robin Hood, he's the sheriff of Nottingham type character. He, you know, he steals the gun from him and then Ross has a little gun and he's just like, when it's real, you can make up your own rules. And I was like, what? That doesn't make sense. It should be, if this was fake, you could make up your own rules. But not if it's real. You can't make up your own rules. That's not a good wisdom to share with children.
Just make up your own rules.
Just do whatever you want in life, kids.
Because it's real.
Punch people in the face walking down the street.
You know what you did.
He was definitely the definition of the guy who does the bare minimum and gets all the credit as the hero at the end. Which, because, like we said, this story doesn't have a happy ending. It has a ending where he thinks he's won the game, and hypothetically you'd think if he won the game he'd get to come out of the game, but Mr. Wilson has trapped him inside there, so he's stuck there. I mean, he didn't achieve anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's stuck.
He's got to play that game till he dies.
Yeah. Do you want to move on?
Yes.
The next award is the Kenan Thompson Award for just doing the best under the circumstances. Who did you give your award to?
I gave it to Polly Shannon.
Me too.
As Sophie, because she was doing exactly what that award says. She's doing the best under the circumstances.
Yes.
It's got to be difficult when you're an actor and the person you're acting across is nowhere near the level you need them to be.
Right.
To, like, have a scene with them.
Because in that first scene when you meet her, when they're in the real world, basically, you know, she delivers her lines very normally, not awkward, or you don't feel like she's acting like you are with Ross, yes. Unfortunately. So that's exactly why I gave it to her. And also because she had to basically tell Ross how to do the whole game until the very end.
That's a great point.
And I, at some point, I'm just like, why don't you just save yourself?
She's like, I need the Sophie. I need the tiara. I need to sit in the throne. I'm like, she had to walk him through everything.
But I guess it's kind of like if you think of old video games, like 8-bit video games, where sometimes they'd have like a narrator almost like saying like, now you have to do this. So I guess that you could see her as that as well. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like you're waiting for this kid to save you and you could save yourself.
That is true. And it would have went a lot better for you than relying on this dimwit.
He just fumbles through it.
Yeah.
They're so mean. It's Ross. Now we can move on to answering the question we're here to answer. Would you give this a enthusiastic Betty Ann thumbs up or a reluctant Eric?
I give it a reluctant Eric, but I will say I liked the story.
Yeah.
I liked the idea. I liked the setting, being in the mall. Like, I liked a lot of aspects. The biggest thing I had going against it is Ross. Mm-hmm. And the fact that kid couldn't act.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think, what hurt it more than anything. I thought it was a fun story. It wasn't the best episode by any stretch, but it had potential that I feel like it couldn't just overcome the bad acting from your main character.
Yeah. I also give an Eric thumbs up. And I liked the ending because, like I've said multiple times, I like the darker endings. I like the idea that not everything's going to be a happy ending. Mm-hmm. And it definitely leaves you feeling, especially as a kid, like, whoa,
yeah,
that's scary.
Like, oh my God, he's trapped in this thing and he can't get out.
But I agree with you. He was kind of fumbling through the acting and the character was just fumbling through the game. So it wasn't necessarily somebody I was rooting for.
Yeah.
But I still thought it was a decent episode. It wasn't the worst.
No, exactly. It was not the worst. It could have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I would have given it a Betty Ann. I think it was probably the closest where I kind of went, it could go either way.
Yeah, it was very close for me as well. So that's it for us, guys. We will be doing a wrap-up of the first season episode next week, probably. Mm-hmm. We'll let you guys know on our Instagram, at Ruining Our Childhood, and Facebook, at mm-hmm. Ruining Our Childhood. Also, we'll be taking a break after that mm-hmm. to
enjoy the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with season 2 at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Not taking 9 months off this time.
No.
We'll be back in like 6 weeks with some new episodes.
Yes. So we hope you have a great day and a wonderful holiday, even though I just said we're going to do another episode. So I don't know why.
You're going to hear us one more time. Yeah. But then you can also enjoy your holiday.
Yes. 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 Thanks for listening as always, guys. Have a nice day.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.